Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here today to talk about how to make restaurants healthier. Today, I'm going to talk about an analysis I did last year as part of my Master of Public Health capstone project at the George Washington University. I have nothing to disclose. Like Deborah said, Americans eat out more than ever before. To juggle busy schedules, the average American eats out about 3 to 5 times per week. Eating out provides 1/3 of the calories in Americans' diets and accounts for almost half of Americans' total food budgets. Restaurant food typically contains more calories, saturated fat, sodium, and fewer fruits, vegetables, and whole grains than food consumed at home. And portion sizes at fast food and sit-down restaurants have been increasing steadily since the 1970s. The restaurant environment is filled with practices that tempt us to eat bigger portions and choose unhealthy options, like value pricing, free baskets of bread, large serving dishes, and free refills of soda. At the same time that Americans have increased the amount they eat out, obesity rates have increased dramatically among all age groups since 1970. As we all know, today, 2/3 of adults and 1/3 of children are overweight or obese. The obesity epidemic accounts for about 100,000 American deaths and nearly $150 billion in healthcare costs per year. Numerous studies have found that the frequency of eating out increases the risk of becoming overweight and is associated with a higher BMI and obesity. In recent years, states and localities have established voluntary healthy restaurant programs where, in exchange for offering healthier menu items, restaurants receive free publicity and other incentives. Most programs use some form of point-of-purchase labeling combined with outreach and education to market and promote healthier food options. In order to understand the different approaches to existing restaurant certification programs and inform future policy strategies for creating healthier restaurants, I analyzed a sample of 21 healthy restaurant programs across the country between October and November 2013. Most programs were run out of a city, county, or state health department, while a few were run by nonprofits or for-profit companies. I looked at 4 main criteria for the analysis: program design, potential public health impact, funding and staff, and sustainability. The size of the assessed government-run programs range from about 8 to 82 restaurant brands. However, many programs have restaurant brands with more than one location. These city, county, and state programs compete with for-profit programs like Healthy Dining Finder, a website which, as of last fall, had certified 350 restaurants and 40,000 locations nationwide. More than 2/3 of the assessed government-run and nonprofit programs that I looked at included only locally owned restaurants. Some grant-funded programs are required to focus on these locally owned restaurants, whereas other programs choose to focus their efforts locally for ease of implementation, as national chains must seek permission from corporate offices. To recruit restaurants, programs use a variety of tactics. Some send informational letters to all the restaurants in the jurisdictions. Others have environmental health inspectors promote the program to restaurants during inspections. Restaurants can be hesitant to join a program because of the time commitment, the effort required to change recipes, reprint menus, and train employees, and the fear of losing customers and sales. Many of the assessed programs, however, try to negate those barriers by making it a simple process to join, charging no fee, and demonstrating the added value of belonging to the program. One of the main selling points of belonging to a healthy restaurant program is the free advertising, marketing, and media coverage. Most programs feature restaurant participants on social media and in paid ads and newspapers, billboards, and bus stops. Programs also offer restaurants a variety of incentives for participating, such as a window decal showcasing the program's logo, and many of the programs give additional in-store promotional items like certificates, plaques, menu inserts or menu stickers next to approved menu items. For public health impact, I looked at a program's nutrition standards, the required number of meals or menu items, whether the program requires a nutrition analysis, and whether the program monitors restaurants for compliance or has an evaluation component. Programs use nutrition standards that are nutrient-based, food-based, or a combination of the two. Nutrient-based standards have limits on calories, fat, sodium, etc., often require a certain level of vitamins and minerals, and require a nutrition analysis. Food-based standards, on the other hand, require servings of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, etc., and don't usually require nutrition analysis. Almost half of the programs I analyzed have food-based standards. 9 of them have a combination of both nutrient and food-based standards, while 3 used only nutrient-based standards. 6 of the programs required only one menu item to meet the program's nutrition standards. Most of the other programs require between about 2 and 3 menu items to meet the standards, while LA County's program requires restaurants to offer reduced size portions for a certain percentage of their menu. And some programs focus only on the regular menu or the children's menu, and some do both. All of the programs I analyze that use nutrient-based standards require that eligible menu items undergo a nutrition analysis. But a challenge for programs working with small, family-owned restaurants is that many of the cooks in these restaurants tend to not cook from recipes, making a nutrition analysis pretty difficult. In fact, most of the programs using food-based standards indicated that being able to avoid conducting a nutrition analysis was a key reason they chose to use food-based standards in order to cut the cost and be less intimidating for restaurants. Fewer than half of the programs I analyzed had any type of monitoring for compliance. Compliance monitoring ranged from checking in with restaurants once a year to conducting a random sampling of certified meals and sending the samples to a laboratory for testing. The lack of monitoring for compliance is a key weakness among healthy restaurant programs. One particular program has restaurants apply for the certification award online, and instead of vetting the applications, relies on the honor system. About half the programs I analyzed have an evaluation component. Most programs have struggled to get sales data because of its proprietary nature. Only 2 of the programs I analyzed, Sonoma County Smart Meal Program and LA County's Choose Health LA, have an evaluation that includes an analysis of sales data to determine how many certified meals have been sold. This has been a time-intensive process in Sonoma County because many of the restaurants in the program don't have the ability to track the sale of certified items electronically and instead rely on manual record keeping. Both the Sonoma County and the LA County evaluations are still underway, so results are not yet available. San Antonio's Por Vida Healthy Restaurant Program, which you'll hear more about from Casey later in the session, conducted an evaluation in 2012 and found that if consumers saw the Por Vida logo, they were more likely to order a Por Vida certified item. Somerville, Massachusetts Shape Up Approved Program evaluation in 2005 showed that almost half of the program's restaurants weren't marking the certified items on their menus despite the availability of menu stickers, signs, and menu inserts. In Howard County, Maryland's Healthy Howard Healthy Restaurant Program's evaluation in 2013 found that patrons really have little awareness of the program, despite the program having a large number of participating restaurants. The evaluation recommended increasing the marketing and publicity of the program and focusing on strengthening existing restaurants' participation before adding new restaurants. About a third of the programs I analyzed were grant-funded through the CDC, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Kaiser Permanente, state health departments, and local foundations. All programs have some type of program coordinator, and other staff include dietitians, graphic designers, and communication specialists. But most of the programs I analyzed operate on minimal manpower. Several programs try to negate this by utilizing Master of Public Health students or graduate dietetic interns to work on the programs. Of the budgets I was able to obtain, they range from a few hundred dollars to about $115,000. In addition to staff costs, other costs include promotional items like window decals, certificates, table tents, menu stickers, menu inserts, or the reprinting of menus with the program's logo next to the certified menu items, as well as the nutrition analysis software and the cost associated with recruiting restaurants and providing technical assistance. The structure of program funding has a strong influence on whether the program will be sustainable in the long term. Both the Seattle and Boston programs had to close after their grants ended because there was no other funding available. Other factors affecting a program's sustainability are political support, having an adequate amount of staff time, strategic partnerships, and stakeholder buy-in. For example, the LA County Department of Health spent 2 years performing a literature review, conducting both qualitative and quantitative research, running a pilot test, and getting buy-in from local restaurants, the Board of Supervisors, and other government agencies. As a result, the California Restaurant Association, the Chamber of Commerce of LA County, and the county's Environmental Health Division have helped reach out to restaurants. Here are some best practice recommendations for either starting or strengthening a healthy restaurant program based on the analysis I conducted. Spending time to receive buy-in from important stakeholders can aid in a smooth implementation of the program. Partnering with the county's Environmental Health Division makes it easy to obtain restaurants' contact information, and environmental health inspectors can assist in outreach efforts as they conduct regular restaurant inspections. While there are challenges with targeting a program at both local and chain restaurants, a program will be less effective if it focuses only on local restaurants, as chains make up a large percentage of total restaurants. And while it may be easier to focus a program solely on the regular menu or the children's menu, a program really should target both equally in order to have the biggest impact. Other best practices include ensuring adequate staff time is allocated to fully support the program. Launching a successful healthy restaurant program will require sufficient time and resources. The relationship between the program staff and restaurants should really be one of a partnership, and program staff should recognize the constraints under which restaurants operate. Promoting the program to the community is really critical in order to raise awareness of the program. In addition to being promoted on the program's own website, programs should be advertised on social media, PSAs, bus stops, billboards, community newspapers, and community events. And reprinting menus with the program's logo next to a certified menu item is the most effective way to inform consumers despite the added cost. Here's an example of one of LA County's program promotional signs that's in the community. Nutrition standards must be feasible and not overly burdensome for restaurants to voluntarily agree to them, but comprehensive enough to make an impact. Ideally, a program should have both nutrient and food-based standards to ensure the certified items are nutritionally sound. One of the most important pieces of a restaurant certification program is the required number of certified menu items. A program can have rigorous standards, but if they're only applied to one menu item, the impact to the consumer is pretty minimal. A group of nutrition experts, including Deborah in the audience here, pulled together by the RAND Corporation in 2012, recommends that restaurants should have at least 10% of items on the regular menu and at least 25% of items on the children's menu meet nutrition standards. Meeting this threshold will provide an adequate number of healthy options for consumers while still being feasible for restaurants. But it's not enough to just launch a program and focus on recruiting new restaurants. Attention must be given to monitoring program participants to ensure restaurants continue to meet the nutrition standards and promote the program to their customers. Compliance monitoring should include quarterly visits with the restaurant owner or manager, and if possible, sales data should be reviewed to see how often customers are ordering the certified menu items. Programs should also have an evaluation component to determine public awareness and program effectiveness. Programs can partner with local universities to perform the evaluation as part of faculty research or a student's capstone project. These healthy restaurant programs can be voluntary, incentive-based, or mandatory. Some jurisdictions may want to use voluntary restaurant certification programs as a first step toward regulations that require restaurants to offer healthier options, such as not allowing sugar-sweetened beverages in kids' meals, or requiring kids' meals to meet specific nutrition standards, or tying a restaurant's environmental inspection passage to offering a minimum number of healthy menu items. Santa Clara County, California, and San Francisco have both passed laws setting nutrition standards for kids' meals served with a toy. And in 2010, the City Council in Watsonville, California, passed an ordinance requiring restaurants to offer healthy options on their menu in order to obtain a building permit. So what can public health professionals do to promote healthy eating at restaurants? First, you can advocate for a healthy restaurant program in your community. Talk to your health department, mayor's office, and local restaurant association. Encourage restaurants to join the program and work with restaurants to reformulate recipes. Promote the healthy restaurant program to your community and educate consumers about the benefit of choosing healthy options at restaurants. Considering how often people eat out today, ensuring the availability of healthy options at restaurants is really critical to helping adults and children eat better and protecting their health. Thanks so much for your time today. I look forward to the Q&A, and if you have any questions after the conference, feel free to email me.